إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
Muhammad Rasulullah عليه الصلاة والسلام.
الحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. درود شریف. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, one of the most remarkable features of the companions, Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'een, is their love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is this unique love that made the companions very dynamic in their character, and in fact dynamic in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we study the lives of the companions, we see that it was never difficult for them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively, to exert in hard labor towards worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? They had the deepest love for Allah and His Rasul. Continuously throughout the night they would stand in tahajjud. It is something that we can't even imagine today. And throughout their life, day and night, these were people who had a set routine. They would recite many, many portions of the Quran, and some of the companions were in the habit of reciting one entire Quran per day. Ajeeb, subhanallah. They were human beings. The only hadith that comes to mind which describes the inner condition, the condition of their hearts, is recorded in the Jami' al-Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. If three conditions are found in an individual, in a believer, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His mercy would open his heart and make him experience, he would literally taste the sweetness of Iman. And the sweetness of Iman is translated by the Arabic word halawatul Iman. Muhaddiseen have mentioned like how the tongue has senses. If you put a morsel, a lukma, in the mouth, it feeds information to the mind and the heart. It tells the mind whether it's sweet or sour. That is the quality that Allah has given that tongue. Likewise, when a person has these three conditions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His infinite mercy will open his heart. He will literally experience halawatul iman, the sweetness of iman. And it is not something that I can open up for you in words. We have to sit with those who have experienced this. Many brothers, their love for the Quran in the recitation, they have said, when we recite the Quran, it is more sweet for us than honey. It is more sweeter than honey. It is like an empty car that needs petrol. So when we recite the Quran, it's filling. It's more sweeter than honey. They don't want to stop. This is halawatul iman. The first condition, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, which was in all the companions, from Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, until the last Sahabi. Every Sahabi had that. Allah's Nabi has said, أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَى. That Allah and His Messenger, Allah and His Messenger are more beloved to Him than anybody else around Him. He loves Allah and His Rasul more than His father, mother, His children, the wife, His precious possessions, belongings, whatever He owns, something that He treasures, everything one side. He will not compromise with Allah and His Rasul. Allah's love and the love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes precedence over all things. Subhanallah. That is the first step of halawatul iman. The second step, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, generally in dunya we have connection with other people also, our friends, our neighbors, those who are around us. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, وَأَنْ يُحِبُّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. That if you are to befriend anyone, that friendship is also for the pleasure of Allah. That friendship is also for the pleasure of Allah. So everyone sitting here, we have this relationship. Alhamdulillah, we know each other. And that relationship should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you love your parents, it is because of Allah's command. If you love your children, it is because of Allah's command. If you love your wife, it is because of Allah's command that you need to look after your family members. Anything that exceeds the limit which is prohibited in Sharia, then that is wrong. If you love someone so much that it stops you from fulfilling the ahkam, the rules of Sharia, that is not love. That is from the shaitan. Therefore Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, if you love anyone after Allah and His Rasul, it should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, the third step, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, it is vitally important that we protect ourselves and that our iman is intact all the time until death, when the ruh is taken out. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, wa an yakraha al-kufr, that he dislikes kufr, to disbelief, infidelity, to such an extent. Allah's Nabi has given an example. كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يُكْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ. Imagine there was a burning inferno in front of you. A building burning. So many people are around you. And someone's trying to push you in that fire. You want to save yourself. Let alone save yourself, you want to save yourself from a single spark and also the smoke of that fire. That person does not want to burn anything of his body, his skin. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, a mu'min, a believer, should be very, very careful. He must make sure that he saves himself from all aspects of kufr. These are the three conditions which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. If it is found in any individual, Allah will give him this ni'mah of halawatul iman. And this was found in every sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why to follow Sharia was their second nature. It was something very, very easy for the companions. That is how they were. They had full control, authority over themselves. Subhanallah, going to the love that the companions have, the definition of al-hub, which is love. We are covering the khilafat of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, and one incident that occurred with him. He came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, smiled at him and said to him, Ya Rasulullah, La anta ahabba ilayya min kulli shay'in illa nafsi. O Allah's Messenger, I love you more than anything and everything in the world. I love you more than anything and everything in this world. But one clause that was in his statement. They were so sincere. And Huzur alayhi salam looked at him and he said, Illa nafsi. But I don't love you more than myself. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, subhanallah. Oh, I just can't wait to see him, inshallah, in Jannah. What a great man he was. And these were words that Allah would put in the mouth of the companions. Do you think that a man like Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab was any short of iman? These were words that Allah would put in their mouth. Why? So it is an education for the rest of the ummah. The question comes out from the mouth of Rasulullah, of Hazrat Umar, and the answer comes from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is known as ta'aleem lil ummah, education for the ummah. And he said, illa nafsi. I think I love myself more than anything in this world. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled at him and said, Umar, your iman is incomplete. Your iman is incomplete. You have not reached that zenith, the peak, that level that is desired. Subhanallah, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and stood up, turned away from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A few minutes, looked down, meditation, muraqabah, introspection, apni islah, looking at the level of his iman, looking at his heart, talking with himself. He came back and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I've looked at myself. The truth is, I love you even more than myself. Subhanallah. The control they had, they were masters. The authority over themselves. And I said this last session. Rasulullah said, the path Hazrat Umar Farooq takes, Shaitan takes another path. It's a diversion for Shaitan. He cannot walk the path of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab. That does not mean he was immune from the wasawis. No, he was a powerful man by his taqwa. He was saved. Important lessons have to be learned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is giving ta'aleem to this ummah. What is meant by love? Unfortunately today, love is an abstract condition today. It comes and it goes. It is something that's temporary. In fact, love is lust today. Love is lust. Har aadmi love mein par jata hai. Har aadmi ko loveria ho jata hai. Very quickly, the youth, they seem to fall in love very, very quickly. We've not really understood the meaning of love. Love is actually lust. It's not love. One has not understood the meaning of love. Love is something that is honored and respected. Al-hub. Hub is in the Quran. One is love and one is lust. Today it's all about lust. It's a promiscuous society that we live in. And in order to fulfill your shahwat, your carnal desire, we label it by love. But it's not love, it is your lust. And this is from shaitan. But Sahaba-i-Kiram ajma'een were very pure. So pure that they were frank with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, truthful to him. And Hazrat Umar is saying, I love you more than anything but myself. And when he was explained that to get a higher level, you have to love me more than your own self, straight away, amendments. Apni islah farmai. Straight away. And he came without delay and he said, no, this is my condition. Subhanallah al-Azim. For the companions, the meaning of love was something much more deeper. That is why Huzur alayhi salam said to Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Al-ana ya Umar, al-ana. Now, O Umar, I see the level of your iman. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained this to the companions. For the companions, love meant loyalty. Love meant responsibility. Love meant dedication. And above all, love meant to sacrifice everything for the beloved, for the one who you love. This is the meaning of al-hub, love, in the hadith explained here by Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh. The thing what I want to mention today, unfortunately, it's something that we have to understand. It's very, very sensitive. Don't take me wrong, my respected brothers. Listen to me very carefully. Shaitan is our enemy. And he wants to deceive you. For the majority of the Muslims, we all have love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether you read Salatu wa Salam standing up, or whether you read Durood Ibrahim, whether someone says to you, oh, these people don't have the love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is all foolishness. Generally, anyone who is sincere and who says La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every Muslim has the love of Allah and his Rasul, generally. But yes, a different category, the degree of love is different, and that is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan wants to deceive the believer. Sometimes he wants to preoccupy the believer in something which is not challenging to his nafs. Something which is not a challenge to his nafs. Something which is easy for his nafs. And yet he feels that I have discharged myself from what is meant al-hubbu lillah wal-hubbu rasul, to love Allah and to love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for an example, you will find a lot of the Muslims, they will sing nazam and na'at throughout the night. Nazam and na'at throughout the night. You will find a group of people expressing their love for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by standing up and reading Salatu was Salam for hours. And you will have different people coming, jisko hum Urdu mein Naat Khan kehte hain. And they will come, and it is a form of, it will refresh the audience. I won't say a form of entertainment. I'll say it will refresh the audience. And so people want to listen to Nazam Naat, and they listen to the different Naat Khans they read. And somehow, the nafs tells them, MashaAllah. You see, you read Nazam, you read Na'at, you sit in that majlis, you read Salatu was Salam, MashaAllah, you have a lot of love for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this is something which is easy, it is not a challenge to the nafs. One must not forget, my respected brothers, in no way am I implying, Aliyazu billah, that we must not praise Rasul sallallahu alayhi. Praising Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is part of Iman. It is part of Iman. Bhai, khub nazam pare, naat pare. We must all praise Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We must all read durood salam to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We must not forget the objective. That is not the objective. That is not the criteria by which Sharia decides the level of love that that individual has got for Allah and his Rasul in the heart. Sharia demands from you action, not just lip service. Sharia demands from you action, not just lip service. When you look at Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in in the Quran, Allah describes them in one unique way. Allah does not say that the Sahaba would stand and they would praise Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam verbally by words. But Allah says no. تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. If you want to see the companions, you will see them in ruku. You will see them in sujood. You will see them in qiyam. You will see them in good actions. They were people who were committed, who had committed themselves to good actions, to a'mal-e saliha. They were strict in following the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what we need to do is we have to check in. We have to see what level we are in. It's not just about nazam, na'at and salatu was salam and sharia ends there. Let not the shaitan deceive you. But we have to be a service to Islam. We have to follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person reads beautiful nazam and na'at, but yet it is difficult for him to keep a beard. Beautiful nazam and na'at, but yet it becomes difficult for him to follow the sunnah of that great person who he is praising. And it's happened to me on numerous occasions, being invited to the different masajid on special nights, occasions. We get groups of people coming in the masjid. On one occasion, you had, not in Leicester, outside, you had groups of people standing up, reading Nazam, Na'at, and then Salatu was Salam carried on, mashallah, for a long period of time, people were sitting. And then when it came for Fajr time, there was hardly two safs. There was hardly two safs. Now, is this Islam, my respected brothers? On one side, we want to show the love that we have for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet, when it comes to the fara'is, fulfilling that which is farz upon you, there is hardly two safs in the masjid. This is dhoka from shaitan. This is how the shaitan deceives you. Once in India, in Bombay, there is this very famous, I'll use the term darga. Darga, a shrine. It is known as Haji Ali. Have you heard of that? All of you? You haven't, Shabir? Being a Maimon, you haven't heard? MashaAllah. You look like a pure Sunni Muslim to me. So, Haji Ali, aapne naam suna hai na bhai? I was with a group of people there, and my host, they said to me, oh Mani Sahab, we are here. You see this dargah here, it's a famous dargah. Let us go and visit Haji Ali. It's, the location is quite unique, in the middle of the sea, not in the middle, but somewhere in the sea. There's a long path that you go. And I said, fine, let's go. Alhamdulillah. See, hum to tang nazar wale log nahi hai, khule dil wale log hai. And we walked, we went, and if there is someone who is a wali of Allah resting there, we pray Allah bless him. That is in the knowledge of Allah, we don't know. But we went there, as is our duty, if you go to visit any Muslim brother who has passed away to his qabr, you pray for him. There is nothing wrong with that. We went there, a lot of women were there. There was a Qawwali session there also. A lot of things were happening, and it was something of an experience. Really, it is something that you have to see. You have to venture out to see all that. And on one side, you had women stacked up who had jinns inside them, and they were swinging their head from right to left as the Sufis do their zikr, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. And they were swinging their head from the right to the left, and they were possessed, and they had jinns inside them. Subhanallah. And I looked at everything very, very carefully, and you had that pigeon kya, the peacock wing, and doing all that. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And as you, and they suss you out, you are a foreigner, and it's all about putting a chadar. Never mind all that. I don't want to talk on that. We stayed there for about 35, 40 minutes, and I said to the group that was there, it is nearly time for Maghrib Salah. Let us go to the masjid. MashaAllah, in India, you have masjids everywhere in Bombay. If you just cross the road, you will find one beautiful masjid there. Beautiful minarets. We went to the masjid, all of us. As we got to the masjid, there was about 2 or 3 minutes left for Maghrib Azan. Maghrib Azan was finished, alhamdulillah, the Imam Sahib was there. We came very late to the masjid, but yet we managed to get into the first saf. When the Imam Sahib did, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, there were hardly any Muslims in the masjid, believers. Not even two safs were completed. Not even two safs were completed. And the group that was with me, I said, all of you come close to me after Salah. I said, look, can you see Haji Ali there? And they said, yes. I said, even in the dark you can see thousands of Muslims walking there. Thousands. And he said, yes. And I said, in the house of Allah, which is masjid, masjid kehte sajde ki jagah, the house of Allah, Maghrib is farz upon the ummah. Here we have how the shaitan deceives a person, thinking that, oh, we have great love for the friends of Allah, awliyaullah, and we have great love for Rasulullah. That is only in the knowledge of Allah, only in the knowledge of Allah. So you have the house of Allah that is empty, and you have a shrine that is full of people. And I said, does this make sense? And they said, you know, Maulana Sahib, you are right. I said, of course I'm right. Of course I'm right. Allah has given you the sense. And this is how the shaitan deceives you. He preoccupies you in things which are not a challenge to your nafs. Something that is not a challenge to your nafs, and yet you feel you've achieved something. But when you look at the lives of Sahaba, it was a struggle. They did mujahada. They did mujahada. Subhanallah. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam did mujahada. The famous hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would stand in the night. Hazrat Aisha says that I saw the auspicious feet of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam swell up. They were puffed up. Yani sujjatit. And I said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah has forgiven you. Do you need to worship Allah in this manner? And he said, Afala an akuna abdan shakura. Of course. And this is the path Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in that they had taken. It was not lip service with Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in. This is what we need to understand, my respected brothers. In that very important incident that occurred with Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala that when he said, I love you more than anything in this world except for myself, and Allah's Nabi said to him, your iman is incomplete, and then he came back and he said, now I love you even more than my own self. This is sacrifice. This is a challenge to your nafs. And this was not just with the Sahaba, but it was also with the Tabi'een, those that had seen Hazrat-e Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'een. Even today, Alhamdulillah, that is not to say if someone externally does not look like a person who's dressed up in the Sunnah way, one cannot criticize a person, a believer, that his level of Iman is very less. You can't say that. That is only in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as Muslims, we are commanded that we need to follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a dream. He saw a dream that he was wearing two gold bracelets. Now, gold for a man is haram. Say it. Someone who has a gold tooth, is that halal? That's haram. Why? What do you say, Idris? It's halal. It's halal. Now we'll have to go to Mufti Saab to ask him why it's halal. But I'll say it's halal to you. But when it comes to adorning yourself with gold, for men it is haram. Huzur alayhi salam saw two gold bracelets. When he saw two gold bracelets, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blew on it. And it just vanished, disappeared. This was the dream of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The meaning of the dream is the two liars, the imposters in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were to claim nabuwat, that they were Nabi aliyazu billah after Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or in partnership to Rasulullah. You had Musaylamatul Kazab in Yamama, and you had Aswad-e-Anasi in Yaman, which we had discussed in the battles. Now in the time of Aswad-e-Asadi, Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam blowing it meant that their claim was not to last for a long period of time. Everything died off in the Khilafat of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. In the Khilafat of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, Aswad-e-Anasi caught this Wali of Allah who was a Tabi'een and captured him, whose name was Abu Muslim al-Khawlani. His name was Abdullah bin Thawb, but his kunniya was Abu Muslim al-Khawlani. Aswad-e-Anasi said to him that, do you take me to be a Rasul? And so Abu Muslim al-Khawlani said, I can't hear you. I can't. So he said, do you take Rasulullah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be Rasul? He says, of course he's the Nabi of Allah. For the second time, do you take me to be a Nabi? Aswad al-Anasi, who claimed to be a prophet. He says, I can't hear. Now he was making a mockery out of Aswad al-Anasi. Aswad al-Anasi got very angry. And he said, the judgment passed to punish him was to burn him alive. Scholars have mentioned not a single part of his body was even grazed or burnt, not a single hair, besides the rope that had tied his hands. That was burnt. When he came out from the fire in good health, those around Aswad Anas, he said, "Why, this person can be a great fitna for you. If people look at him and if he tells people what has happened, nobody will believe you to be a prophet. So push him out from Yemen." So he was forced to leave Yemen. And so Abu Muslim al-Khawlani now comes to Madinatul Munawwara. In Madinatul Munawwara at Fajr time, after Fajr, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq is sitting with Hazrat Umar Farooq. It is the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Hazrat Umar Farooq sees this man, a stranger, a new person, coming to the masjid. Whilst he was talking with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, after the conversation, Hazrat Umar was a man who probes and looks at everything. Allahu Akbar, Allah give him jazai khair. The first man, what a great man he was. He looks at Abu Muslim al-Khawlani, "Ye koi naya aadmi hai, ha?" So he stood up and he said, and the firasat, what is firasat? You see that the intellect that Allah had given Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he looked at him and said, "You look like a person from Yemen. Are you a Yemeni?" And so he said, "Yes, I'm a Yemeni." So Hazrat Umar said, "What happened to that person who Aswad Anasi wanted to burn alive?" Now this Wali of Allah is humble. He's a Tabi'in. He's seen the Sahaba. So he did not want to expose. And he says, "Yes, that person is Abdullah bin Thawb." Abdullah bin Thawb is himself. But he's saying, "Yes, that is Abdullah bin Thawb." He is known to people as Abu Muslim Khawlani. That is his kunya. Arabs were known by their kunya. As Hazrat Umar Farooq knew, Hazrat Umar says, "I ask you in the name of Allah, are you not Abdullah bin Thawb?" And he looked down and he said, "Yes, I am Abdullah bin Thawb." Hazrat Umar asked him what had happened and he explained. Hazrat Umar stood up and kissed his forehead, embraced him, and took him to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and related everything to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and said that, "Alhamdulillah, Allah has kept me alive until I saw someone who was given the same karamat, miracle, in the Ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was given to the prophets Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. So I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." The reason why I quote to you this incident is, anyone who has the deepest love for Allah and His Messenger does not fear death. When it comes to sacrificing himself for the sake of Allah and His Messenger, they are up in the front. Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'een, for every one of them this was something very easy. But even the Tabi'een, those that were the successors of Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'een, we need to check ourselves, my respected brothers. This is something very, very careful what I have said to you. It wasn't only that the Sahabas had the love of Allah and His Messenger. 2 more minutes. It wasn't only that the Sahaba had the love of Allah and His Messenger. But it was mutual love. Even Allah and His Rasul loved them. Someone says, "Oh, I dearly love my wife." My brother, you dearly love your wife. But does your wife dearly love you? "No, my wife doesn't dearly love me. She dearly slaps me." Samjhe? So, bhai, ye to 50%, like that person said that, "Oh, I want to get married to that princess." Maulana said, "Oh, you are a peasant and you want to get married to the princess?" He says, "Yes, half the job is done." So he says, "How?" He says, "On my side, I am ready to marry her." On 50%. "On my side, I am ready to marry her. But I am only waiting for her side. See if her side is ready." Aray, subhanallah, insan. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Tazawwajul wadud al-walud." Get married to a woman who will love you all the time. Not only for the first 2, 3, 4, 5 years of your marriage, and then things get, you know, very stale. "Ah, tumhare safed baal ho gaye. You are a buddha, old man now, this and that." And then now the husband starts to say it's the same for you. And there's arguments and eruptions and fighting. Subhanallah, it's not a quality of a woman. The woman must remain faithful and loving al-wadud throughout her life. Throughout her life. And I saw my ustaz, Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Islamul Haqsab. Ajib. Shaykh al-Hadith, who taught Bukhari for years, and everyone here, the scholars, are students of Shaykh al-Hadith. Once when we went for Umrah, he would hold the hand of his wife. Both of them were so old, and walking slowly and doing tawaf of the Kaaba. And then you look at them, you wonder, mashaAllah, that the love they have even at that age. The love they had even at that age. Sahaba-i kiram ajma'een, for them, they loved Allah and His Rasul. Their love was so pure that it was mutual love. They loved Allah and His Rasul, and Allah and His Rasul also loved them. Allah and His Rasul also loved them. This is the second aspect of love. You love someone and that person dearly loves you. That is a complete package of love. And to understand that, we end with one hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Sahal bin Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala and says, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Khaybar said to the companions, لَأُوْتِيَنَّ الرَّأْيَةَ غَدًا رَجُلًا يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُ وَيُحِبُّ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُ. That tomorrow on the day of Khaybar, Allah's Nabi is saying that I will give a banner, a flag to that individual who loves Allah and His Rasul. Huzur alayhi salam did not stop at that. He said, he loves Allah and His Rasul, وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And also Allah and His Rasul loves him. This is the condition of all the companions. And who is that person? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the forts of Ahl-e Yahud by this individual. And the next morning every Sahabi had that desire that it would be me. Allah's Nabi said, where is Ali radiallahu ta'ala? Subhanallah, that great Nabi Sahabi, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, at that time he had some swelling in the eye. So some of the companions said, Ya Rasulullah, Hazrat Ali has said that he has a swelling in the eye, hoping that now Huzur alayhi salam would choose someone else. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what a great man he was, what a great Rasul he was, subhanallah. He says, call Ali nevertheless. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and came. Ab sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took out from the auspicious mouth saliva and put it on the eyelid. Subhanallah. Instantly he was cured. In the hadith it comes, وَدَعَا لَهُ فَبَرَأَ كَأَلَّمْ يَكُنْ بِهِ وَجَعٌ. As if though there was never any pain in that eye. Some of the muhaddiseen have mentioned that that eye became sharper than the other eye. That eye became sharper than the other eye, and Allah's Nabi gave him the banner. And the hadith continues, subhanallah, it ends in a beautiful way. Allah's Nabi said to Hazrat Ali that, remember, if a single person is given hidayat by your hands, it is better than the most expensive camels of Arabia, red camels of Arabia. They were very, very expensive camels. Even if you had a stock of all these red camels, and if there was one person given hidayat by your hands, that is better than a stock of all the camels that are given to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we understand the true definition of love, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the sincere love for Allah and His Messenger. Wa akhiru da'wana anil alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. سمعنا وأطعنا، غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.